You're listening to I'm Right, Deal With It with Andy Parrish.
Man, I wish we had more time because I could fact check the hell out of this debate, but we're going to talk about two things today. We're going to talk about fracking, and we're going to talk about Trump's claim about abortions after birth, which he's absolutely correct on. There are several states that allow it, including Kamala's running mate, Tim Walz, where the Department of Human Services actually documented five of them in 2021. But the newsreader is over at a bunch of crap news, and the sorority sister, Lisa Davis, who moderated the debate, who's a sorority sister with Kamala Harris, they didn't care. They do not care. They're trying everything they can to save her. But we're going to talk about fracking first, and we're going to talk about Kamala's position. And here's where she was at just a few years ago.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking. So, yeah, and starting with what we can do on day one around public lands, right? And then there has to be legislation. But yes, and this is something I've taken on in California. I have a history of working on this issue. And to your point, that we have to just acknowledge that the residual impact of fracking is enormous in terms of the impact on the health and safety of communities. Yeah. So thank you.
The health and safety of communities. Uh-huh. Scary, isn't it? Ooh, fracking. That has such a scary name to it. Frack, frack, frack. It sounds like you're swearing. It sounds like I'm breaking something. Oh, my God. Here we go. Kamala Harris. Remember, folks, Democrats want power. And to get power, they need to instill fear. And fear is what drives people to vote for them. It's true. It's what they do. It's just how they operate. That's how they get to power, because that's what they want. A fracking company will locate a shale deposit about a mile and a half below the Earth's surface. And shale is a rock that is formed over time through mud, with mud, compression, other things. But it has virtually no pores in it. So anything that decomposes with inside that shale composite eventually turns to gas and oil. So that's how we get it. All right. So the fracking company will, on the side of where the shale composite is, they will drill down a mile and a half straight down. And then they turn the drill bit, literally turn it. And then it goes horizontal underneath the shale composite. They pull that drill bit out, and that can go miles, by the way, horizontally for miles. They pull the drill bit out. They then encase the entire hole, the vertical hole and now the horizontal hole that is underneath the shale composite. They encase it in cement and line it with steel to prevent any type of leakage during the extraction of the natural gas or the oil. They then send down another bit that looks almost like a gun in a way, and they section off that mile long that they drilled horizontally into four or five different sections. It sends an explosion that goes through the cement, through the steel, and creates a several inch crack into the shale for one section. They pull the bit out, they put a plug in there. Okay, so that is sectioned off. They do this multiple times. They make another explosion several inches, put a plug in there, section it off and go on. Then they pump it full of water and sand. And they're gonna say, ooh, and chemicals. Ooh, oh, look at their dean. They're being so bad to the environment because there's chemicals in there. Hydraulic fluid that is used is 99.5% water and sand. The other 5% may be things that are naturally occurring or meet all of the EPA standards and help send the sand down with the water to help make the cracking. So here's what they do. Scientists have gotten so good that they can determine the mass of the shale rock or the shale bed. They can determine then with the water and the sand how much pressure they need to finish cracking the shale, which is important because that's how the gas and the oil is going to escape. Okay? The left wants you to believe that they're punching holes in the earth that are wide enough to drive a semi through. These cracks that we create with the water are held open by grains of sand, not beaches of sand, grains of sand. They don't tell you that, do they? That is how minuscule these cracks are. Once they're done cracking, they pump the water out. Remember, they had a plug. The oil and the gas then drain down into that well because we sectioned that horizontal part off into four sections, and they do it again with the other three. Everything comes down there. They pull the water out. The water is either used at another fracking site or taken to a wastewater treatment plant where it can be turned back into drinking water. So you tell me, if it's so bad, the fluid they put down there, why do we turn it back into drinking water? Anyway, the fracking company then can extract oil and gas from that for 20 years. Here's the best part. Back in the olden days when they were looking for oil, they just plopped a well down and started drilling, and you saw this big nasty rig there. Here's really why the left hates it. You can drive by a fracking site and not even know it. Yeah. The entire height of a fracking pad, they call it, is less than a one-story building, and it's usually concealed by trees. And guess what? If you take one wind farm and compare it to one fracking well, the fracking well will produce 48 times the energy than an entire wind farm. Think of that. Which wind farms you see, because those windmills have to be incredibly high. So why else do we continue to do fracking? Well, let me tell you why. The United Nations said that since fracking became so popular, the United States greenhouse emissions has gone down 9%. Boy, that doesn't fit their narrative of this green industrial complex, does it? No, it doesn't. In communities where there's fracking, wages have risen 10% across the board. Your energy bills, where fracking is happening, are down $200 a year. So if people are saving money and emissions are going down, we don't need the left's renewable energy complex. That's what this all boils down to, is they are so invested in fear, in creating fear to drive votes, in creating fear to drive their green industrial complex, that they will lie and tell you anything. Now, Kamala said she opposed it. Why did she oppose it? Kamala's from California. Where is the green revolution happening? California. Yeah. Where are all those windmills at out in the ocean? California. Where are all the solar panels at? California. Where's all the technology for this stuff made? Or it was at one point, California. She has no conviction to the environment. She has no conviction to anything that I can find. But she now all of a sudden supports fracking. Why does she support fracking? Do you know what one of the largest states for fracking natural gas is? Pennsylvania. Larger than North Dakota, larger than South Dakota. It's huge. It's a vital part of their economy. It's cleaner than coal. It's safer than coal. When the fracking company is done with their well, by the way, since the fracking pad is only one story high that's concealed by trees, they can actually remove the fracking pad. They fill the entire hole back up with cement or whatever the EPA requires of them. They pick it up, they leave, and within several years, you never know that there was something there. What I absolutely love then is then the left, they know fear because fear gets votes, right? If I scare you and say, do this or this is going to happen, you're going to do it, right? I mean, that's like bank robber does. I have a gun. Give me money. Okay, I'm scared. I'm going to give you money. Same concept. That bank robber then has power over the teller because he has instilled fear in them. And that's what the left does. So now that they know that fracking is a huge part of the economy, it is lowering energy prices for people across the country, and it's destroying their green industrial complex that they have, the next thing they do is say, oh, well, to transport it, the oil, it could spill. And then they bring up Exxon Valdez, and which people think Exxon Valdez was a boat. It was an Exxon boat in Valdez, Alaska, where the spill happened, where the guy was drunk and ran it, crashed it. But here's the ironic part. This is what I've never understood about why they're so opposed to pipelines and other things. You trying to tell me that the oil and gas that I took out of the ground might go back into the ground? I don't understand this. So oil and gas that I took from the ground could spill and go back into the ground. It's this is the dumbest argument that you're ever going to have made is that, oh, it could cause environmental damage. I took it from the ground. It spilled. It may look ugly on the surface, but it's going back into the ground. That's like me saying, oh my gosh, I was driving my tractor in my yard and I was taking some compost back and the compost spilled on the ground. I mean, that's how stupid this is. It's stupid. Oh, it's bad for the drinking water. Folks, the deepest you're going to go for drinking water is 350 feet. We're going miles under the ground for this stuff, and they try to avoid it. I mean, and then the fracking fluid that we take anyway goes to a wastewater treatment plant where it's recycled. This is stupid. Why would we oppose this other than it's destroying the environmental industrial complex, the green industrial complex? Windmill farms are huge. They're an eyesore, and they only produce energy when wind is going. Fracking is the equivalent of 4, 5, 6 wells drilled with one hole. It's highly efficient. It's environmentally safe because we're using water and sand, and the cracks are large enough for a grain of sand to hold it open so that we can drain the oil and the gas from it. Why aren't we embracing this? Like I said, in communities where fracking is happening, wages across the board have gone up 10%. The price of homes have gone up 5.7%. The cost of energy for every household has gone down over $200. And you folks, you know that energy is the number one driver behind inflation because it costs money to transport goods. It costs money to make goods. It costs money for people to drive to sell those goods. It costs money to keep lights on inside those businesses. Energy, when energy goes up, inflation follows. And with our dependency on foreign oil, true inflation lags behind several years. Because when you have OPEC in these leases, their investments happen every 7 to 10 years when they have to drill a new well. Because for them, they have to reinvest in buying land. They have to reinvest in equipment. They have to reinvest in people. And guess what? As we see the prices go up, so does the prices for them to get oil out of the ground, and then it's passed on to us. This is stupid that people can't see this. But Kamala is so invested. She wanted votes in Green California. She got them. Now she's changing her mind, and now she's going to support fracking. Why? She needs votes. We've been through the Electoral College map, folks. She can't make it. The numbers aren't there unless there's a massive fraud that happens. There's no real way for her to get there, which is why you now see her campaigning saying, well, we have important races all the way down the ballot. I've said from before she was nominated, before this whole switcheroo took place, that Kamala was there for one reason: to save Democrats in the Senate, to save Democrats in the House. And she becomes the nominee in 4 years. But see, this isn't just about fracking. This is about who you are as an individual. I have said 100 times over, I worked for a lot of candidates. I won a lot of races at the federal level, the local level, the state level. Candidates who do the best are willing to die on principle than win on compromise. But if you're so desperate to win and you see absolutely no path for you to get there mathematically, then you're going to start trying to be all things to all people, and you're going to try to change the subject. Why on earth are we talking about fracking and abortion in a presidential debate when abortion has been returned to the states? The federal government has nothing to do with it anymore. Why are we talking about those issues? Why aren't we talking about the other things? See, Trump has done such a good job, and the left doesn't know what to do, but he has done such a good job of exposing how radical these people are. So take, for instance, on abortion. Kamala would not answer the question, what's your limitation on it? We know what Tim Walz's is. The Star Tribune headline 2 days ago was Walz, his quote was, abortion in the 9th month is just fine. The 9th month. My son was born at 27 weeks gestation. He was 2 pounds, 8 ounces. He's a happy, healthy, normal little boy who plays hockey. Not as good as his dad. He is right, though, folks. He is. He is my son, so he is also right. He's a good kid. He mathematically and science, in math, science, and arithmetic, and his map testing, reading, writing, whatever the hell it is. See, I don't even know where he gets this from. He's tested in the gifted category every year. 3 times in a row, he's tested 90% or above every single time. Can you tell I'm a little proud of him? No, he does need to work a little bit more on using the board when he's trying to get down the ice, especially between the blue lines. So if anybody has any tips for that, let me know. But here's my point. Walls said it's perfectly fine. Trump said during the debate that some states are now allowing for abortions after birth. In Minnesota, go look at the 2021 Department of Health and Human Services report. I'm going to post it on the website. If you're playing along at home, go to PDF page 38. The PDF doesn't quite match up with the numbers on the report. That's computers for you, okay? You know how many children were actually born alive from a botched abortion and then died in Minnesota in 2021 since DHS is required to keep records of it? Five. Three of them, it says, were given care and then they passed away. Comfort care. Here's what Governor Ralph Northam said. And this is what Trump referenced during the debate.
There are no exception. There was a very contentious committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions.
Okay, stop right there. I want everyone to remember third trimester abortion. Third trimester, which is the final 3 months of pregnancy that goes from 6 to 9.
As well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor.
Stop. She's talking about dilation in labor and allowing abortion to happen right then and there. In labor.
Do you support her measure and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't.
You weren't there, Governor. You weren't there. You weren't. This is the easiest thing to say hell no to. You weren't there. Just answer the question and say hell no.
Speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you one first thing I would say is this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable.
Governor Northam is saying right there, folks, is he saying that the doctors are saying to the mother, hey, I think your child has Down syndrome. Hey, I think your child has a sixth finger. Hey, I think your child is going to be blind. I think your child has a disability and your life is going to be much more difficult. That's what he's saying. He's saying we're going to elect now based off if somebody has a disability or not.
So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired.
The infant would be resuscitated if that is what the mother and the family desired. So your child's born, the doctors tell you, hey, your child has X disability, your child has this, your child has an eighth finger. By the way, it was born a little early because of the botched abortion. If we don't put just a simple ventilator or put your child in an isolate, it'll probably die. What do you want to do? That's what he's saying. If they want.
And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So
what on earth is there to discuss? What are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about Tyreek Hill and the arrest? Or, I mean, what the hell are they going to discuss? You've got a child that is born alive, that is gasping for air, withering in pain, crying just to be held and have some comfort. Maybe wants some food because it's hungry. It's cold because it has no clothes on and has been inside of mom. What the hell are you going to discuss? What is the discussion?
So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
Governor, I have news for you. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris solved that riddle if the government can tell a woman what she can and can't do with her own body. Yeah, they did. They mandated the COVID shot for all women who were federal workers or federal contractors. They certainly didn't leave that medical decision up between a woman and her doctor. Joe Biden, a male, certainly did tell women what they can and can't do with their own body. And by the way, this whole decisions made by legislators who are mostly male, you know how stupid that argument is? You know how dumb that is? That's like saying legislators are making drunk driving illegal, but let's remind ourselves, the majority of the legislators have never driven drunk. The legislature is making it illegal to murder somebody. But let's remind ourselves, most of these legislators have never murdered anybody. The legislature is making it illegal to cook methamphetamine in a school. But let's remind ourselves, most of these legislators have never cooked methamphetamine.
And do you think multiple physicians should have to weigh in as is currently required? She's trying to lift that requirement.
Well, I think it's always good to get a second opinion and for at least two providers to be involved in that decision, because these decisions shouldn't be taken lightly. And and so, you know, I would certainly support more than one provider.
There you have it, folks. You have the governor himself saying it. Would be resuscitated if that's what the mother desired. The ambiguity within this, folks, in this certain legislation means for any reason, the mother can decide whether to provide the basic care for their child. Who on earth thinks that this is okay? But see, their views are so extreme that Kamala needed some saving from David Muir and Lisa Davis. And Lisa Davis just happens to be a sorority sister of none other than Kamala Harris. These activist newsreaders jumped in during the debate and said Trump was wrong, but he was right. But you can't unring a bell, and that's what the left knows, and that's what the media knows. Once you say something, and you say it from a position of authority like David Muir and Lisa Davis tried to do, you can't unring that. And so Trump is exposing these people for their radical views. I mean, we're talking about the ability for doctors and a mom to decide after a child is born what kind of care to give to somebody. Don't believe me? Go look at Minnesota. Go look at Tim Walz and his record. Go look at the 2021 report from the Department of Health and Human Services, Tim's Department of Health and Human Services, page 38 of the PDF, and read it. You're going to be appalled. Five children were born alive and given, quote, care and died from a botched abortion. It's on Tim Walz's very own Department of Health and Human Services website and their page, and I'll post it to my site. This is crazy. But you know what? They'll do anything for votes. They'll do anything for power. They'll scare you. They'll lie to you. The media is complicit. And you know why the media is complicit? Because they have absolutely no control whatsoever over Donald J. Trump. And they're afraid. They're scared. They're scared that their livelihood is going to go away because they can't control him. They can't control the narrative. And if they can't control it, then there is no need for them whatsoever. And here's the point that everybody is missing. Tim Walz, Kamala Harris, David Muir, Lisa Davis, everyone at a bunch of crap news, ABC News, everybody at nothing but clown news, Lester Holt, Savannah Guthrie, they want power, but it's your power. Our government was set up in such a way that they could only govern at the consent of us. We hold the power, and they don't like it. So the media is going to cover things up because they want the power. Tim and Kamala are going to continue to lie because they know the media is going to cover up for them, and they want the power, which in turn empowers the, quote, media. And they can't do it with Trump. They can't control Trump. They can't. He's proven that. As hard as they have tried, they cannot. But folks, let's not forget, this election is so much more than fracking, than abortion, than transgender people. This election comes down to who is going to have a say for the next generation. This election comes down to, will we be the first generation that falls for all of this garbage and fails to continue to hand on the torch of liberty and freedom to the next generation? See, Trump actually cares about that. Kamala and Tim care about the power, and the media cares about their relevancy. We can't let this happen. I will continue to hold the media accountable and Tim and Kamala accountable. I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast. Follow me on X at Andy Parrish. Follow me on Instagram, Andy Parrish Show. Join me on Facebook, Andy Parrish. Let's continue this discussion. Share this podcast with your friends, folks. And whatever you do, do not give up. Do not give up hope. Do not give up on saying, this is my government. I have the power. I will do my own research. I do not need you. I will vote for people who are going to empower me and give me the freedom that was given to me through my creator and reinforced by our founding fathers.
You've been listening to I'm Right, Deal With It with Andy Parrish.